So I'm here
your
with...
Your name?
My name's James.
James.
So I'm here with John Luca from the National Physical Laboratory, and you're here talking about bubbles.
Yes, that's what we study. That's what I got so amazed from when I was in my PhD that I decided to start studying them and how they affect our life. Because, you know, bubbles are really everywhere. Mm. But everywhere, in places that you would never imagine. They affect the taste of food, like ice cream, for instance. Well, everyone is knows about chocolate with bubbles. Mm. But there are cheese, for instance, has bubbles in it. And also bread, eventually, you put yeast in it to create bubbles and to make it rise. So a good bread has good bubbles in it. Mm. And so if you can control your bubbles, you can have, for instance, a different taste of food. Mm. And what we do here is we study the relationship between bubbles and sound. Did you know, James, that bubbles have a sound?
I didn't.
Well, the interesting part is that each bubble behaves like a bell. Mm. So a different size of bubbles creates a different sound. And to demonstrate that, we have built what we call a bubble organ. Let's go and play it.
Okay. So just to describe this for our listeners, it is literally just like an organ. You've got the buttons to press to create the sounds, and then some tubes of water, which I guess act like organ pipes.
Yes. We have filled the tubes with water. They are about half a meter tall. And inside the water, you can distinguish a nozzle, one of it in each tube. And just a bit above the nozzle, there is a sensor, so like a microphone, like the one I am talking into, which is used to detect the sound produced. Mm. So what we do then is we press one of the keys, and we get bubbles coming out from the nozzle. And these bubbles are the biggest one that we have. But then we move to the bubbles which are the smallest ones. And can you see that they have a different pitch? Mm. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Well, the fact is that they have smaller, so they have a different... they sound exactly as we said before, like a smaller bell, like the ones that you would use to call a waiter. Mm. But now we have a key which we call the concerto key. Let's go and listen to it. To me, this sounds like a bit like Darth Vader talking through the mask. But in reality, we have very, very small bubbles, and lots of them. And all of them produce this sound. Mm. Now, if you listen carefully to this sound, you might have heard it before when you walk along the seaside. The sound of the waves hitting the sand, 90% of that comes from bubbles which are formed and start doing oscillations and producing sound. So this fact that bubbles have sound is already used to measure, for instance, by some scientists, to measure the quality of exchange of oxygen with the sea, which is related eventually to climate change. But we want to use them to detect properties of the liquid. Now imagine that you could have one of those bubbles and change the liquid. What do you think will happen?
The pitch would change, presumably.
Yes, exactly. So imagine that you are monitoring the quality of your liquid. Mm. Say that you want to check the amount of insulin in the blood, or you want to check whether something is polluting your water. Then you can listen to the sound of the bubbles and detect that. Mm. So if we know so well interaction between sound and bubbles, we can eventually transform them into sensor. And this is what we want to do.
And the thing I was talking to one of your colleagues a moment ago is absolutely mind-blowing, is the medical applications for this. I mean, he was talking about how we could use bubbles to transmit cancer drugs and target them on the right part of the body.
Well, at the moment, bubbles are already used to help ultrasound detection of cancer. Some recent studies have demonstrated that the efficiency of ultrasound, which is normally 60%. So this means that a doctor which uses an ultrasound scan gets a 60% chance of getting the right diagnosis. So a doctor sends you to do another test. Well, using bubbles together with ultrasound, the efficiency can jump to 90%, 95%, depending on the skill, the conditions, etc., etc. That's huge. That's really huge. So with just one exam, you can have an almost certain check of whether you are healthy or not. And what we are doing is we are trying to do the step forward. So as you were saying, we want to load, there is all, a lot of people all around the world which are studying ways to load drugs on bubbles and then bring them in place using something that we could call acoustic tweezers, and then blast them or make them oscillate so that they can pinch the tissue and deliver the drug just there. Now, this is potentially extremely powerful because ultrasound is one of the few things which can affect the brain. So if we could use bubbles there, eventually we could be able to cure the most difficult cancers at the moment. So they are now already used for detection in prostate cancer, in breast cancer, in liver cancer. So the most difficult ones. Think what will happen if we could cure with small, tiny bubbles. And the other thing we could do is to use them to blast directly. So if we are not so successful in delivery, which is working in the lab very well, we can still use them to blast, to ablate, that's the technical word, the cancer. Nowadays in China, they are using sound, focused sound, high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU for friends, to actually cook cancer cells. This is because cancer absorbs sound in a different way than the rest of the other tissues.
Okay.
But then this leaves you with something burnt there that you want to get rid of. If you could use the bubbles, they could do also the cleaning bit. So not only the curing part or the blasting part, but also clean the room after the use.
It's unbelievable. I mean, how many years away are we from, would you care to speculate, or away from this in hospitals?
Well, the problem is a measurement problem. Because if you put something in the body, you want to make sure that it does not affect something that you don't want. So supposing that we or some of the other large community which is studying bubbles find a way to detect them when they are used, then they will start the clinical trials very soon. So it could be a maximum of 10 years.
Blimey, it's fascinating. We'll put links to find out more about bubbles and so on the website. John Luca, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for listening to my words.